Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
The Music of America podcast continues as we wrap up our visit to Rhode Island. Our guest today is going to be fun. Kelly and the Poor Boys. And if that sounds like a Creedence Clearwater song, there's a reason for it. This is a Creedence Clearwater cover, tribute, band experience, and we're going to talk with a couple of band members about that in a moment. B Normus Productions. That's the letter B, Normus. B Normus Productions has been producing and recording music and videos for over 20 years. After years as a performer, the owner, Van Vierhoeven, decided to get back to that which he loves the most, production. Under tutelage of Jordan Valeria, he opened his own place in Milliken, Colorado. High-end instruments, high-end tools, all on hand to make your sound compete with that of your own favorite records. So get back and let's go make some music. Go make some videos at B Normus Productions. They're on Facebook, or you can find them at bnormusproductions.com. So we're with Kelly and the Poor Boys, and we've got Kelly and Eddie and Jason with us. And who's missing, Jason? Who's missing today?
We've got our lead guitarist, Robbie, who is off today, and Dana, who obviously has something else better to do. And we had the opportunity to see Sal earlier this afternoon, and he's doing all sorts of tasks that his wife put him up to.
Now, when I get cover bands or whatever you want to call you guys, I ask them this question. What's the difference between a tribute band and a cover band? And the last cover band I had on there was actually Rolling Stones, which, Eddie, you're a part of, that we had on earlier this year.
Yep.
And this is a different Stones band. And they call themselves a Rolling Stones experience. They don't dress up like them, but they do all the songs. And they'll do some deep cuts as well as all the hits. So when you go there, you're having, and they have some energy, and they get people involved, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a Rolling Stone experience. How would you define Kelly and the Poor Boys? Kelly looks like she wants to say something.
Well, Kelly can say anything she'd like.
I would say it's an experience.
Uh-huh.
It's a CCR experience.
Yeah.
Because obviously I'm not dressing like John Fogerty.
You're not going to fool anybody, you know?
Right, right.
And why Creedence out of all the bands to cover that are out there? I mean, it's one of my all-time favorite bands. Lodi was one of the first records I ever bought, you know?
Yeah.
That's why, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a favorite of everybody, you know, yeah. Growing up, and something that I always wanted to do and just didn't think we were ever going to get around to doing it. Eddie and I were busy for quite some time with the Rolling Stones act. And yeah. Then kind of during the pandemic, we just, you know, we're kind of jamming out, and the lead guitarist that we were working with, Eddie and I, had another cover band project that we were working on where Robbie was involved as our lead guitarist. And we were working on some songs here and there. And he says, why don't we just do a Creedence tribute? And I said, all right, we'll twist my arm a little bit. So,
Eddie, if you did a mosh of Creedence songs that were just in E, how many songs in the key of E could you do E7. All at once? In E7th, right. In E7th, how many E7th. Songs in E7th could you do?
There's at least four or five. There's Juggling, there's Born on the Bayou.
Green River is Green River E7th?
Yeah.
Green River is E7th.
Let's not forget Old Man Down the Road, which is
Old Man Down the Road, E7th, yes. Yeah. Susie Q is E7.
Susie Q is E7. That's right. That's so funny.
And he has a lot of songs that are one chords. Chuglin's one of them. It's E7th for four and a half minutes. And Down in the Jungle's D7th for four and a half minutes. You know.
I was in a cover band, and that was usually the song we would start with because it's a great warm-up song because you could play it for 7 or 8 minutes if you needed to, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, once you start playing, it's okay. But then once you're about 3 minutes into it, you see, you know, and we had two to three guitars, and somebody's retuning because, you know, we're hitting pretty heavy. And yeah. Kelly, do you play too, or do you just sing? Do you sing and do other things, or do you sing?
Yeah, no, I'm just vocals.
Uh-huh.
She plays a mean cowbell.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kelly is also
and tambourine.
Right, but Kelly is also a she changes things up a lot with the visuals. Also, so I would consider.
Let's see, I've got a really wild imagination, so you have to be really more specific.
She has lots of scarves and makes things a very visual experience. Anything that she's doing makes it a must. You know, it's like a must see TV night on a Thursday in the 90s.
Yeah, well, you know, I read something about like Creedence, like when we first started this project, and like the first few gigs I would wear plaid, and I read something like John Fogerty and the band would always very unassuming and dressed like auto mechanics, right? And I'm like, you know, and I'm getting tired of dressing like an auto mechanic, so I'm gonna change it up a little bit here. So like Jason says, scarves colors, and
it looks like Kelly was actually a Stevie Nicks and a Fleetwood Mac tribute at one time. So her onstage persona is a little more like Stevie Nicks as opposed to a John Fogerty, which
I really hear that in your voice a lot. And, you know, I thought, man, if you're not going to do this, you got to do Fleetwood Mac or at least a Stevie tribute, because you really got a great Stevie Nicks voice. Stevie or Stevie Nicks sounds so much like Kelly, doesn't she?
There you go, right? Well, we do a few classic rock songs, and we've got a Fleetwood Mac and Stop Dragging My Heart Around.
Oh, did you work that in?
Yeah, well, sometimes we'll do some classic rock songs.
I'm in St. Louis, or outside of St. Louis now, so I know where bands like this play, and a lot of them hit the wineries. There's a big winery circuit here in the St. Louis area, and a band like 19th Nervous Breakdown, Kelly and the Pool Boys, you know, you guys would do so well in those venues, because they get on a summer Sunday afternoon, for example, we'll have 300 or 400 people at the winery, and it's beautiful rolling hills in Missouri, and lots of wine and lots of dancers, and you guys bring it, you know, you bring the energy and you bring the Creedence experience, like you were saying, Kelly. So where do you play in Rhode Island? Because obviously you don't just play Rhode Island, you know?
Right, right. We're pretty much all over New England, but we stick to mostly Rhode Island and Massachusetts. You know, we have got some shows coming up in June. We're off for about a month or so as of this airing. But, you know, in June, we'll be at the 133 Club in East Providence on June 1st, Saturday. Friday, June 21st, Bogies in Lincoln, Rhode Island. And then on Saturday, June 29th, JR's in Hanson, Massachusetts. So ramping things up for the summer there.
Yeah, we'll get into the details more. In the last segment of the show, we call it shameless self-promotion.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm just shameless no matter where I am.
That's all right. Self-promote, man. That's what the show's about. And if you guys don't do it and I'm not there helping you, then who will, right? But that's what I was wondering. You just stayed Northeast. Have you ever thought of going beyond, beyond, where did you go, Eddie? About 200 miles? 100 miles?
Yeah, with the Stones, we played New York, and we went up to Montreal, so we branched out quite a bit.
Right.
We haven't so much with this, but we are thinking about it.
Yeah. So. Then
we're not opposed to Missouri, even if you want to set us up with a hotel.
And I tell people this all the time. First of all, I've got I'm building a studio in my basement, so when that's done, I'll have a hide a bed and a futon down there, and I've got my bedroom and then two other bedrooms plus a couch that opens up into a bed upstairs. So my New Year's resolution, I'm not going to book you gigs, but my New Year's resolution is to find people or places where people like you wouldn't want to play at the Grand Slam. That's a guy with a solo guitar, goes down and makes $150 on a Friday night. But the wineries is a good place to go, because you make good money, you have a good crowd. And the way, like I've explained it to people, I would say, you know, it's going to cost you $16,000, but you have to book four shows, and you're going to lose money on the first one, might break even on the second, you'll make a little money on the third, and you'll really make your money on the fourth, because then people will know who you are, and then you're entrenched, you know, and then you're in the winery circuit, then you're gonna have the winery people, and you have the casinos and all that. That's in my world, that's how it should play out. I don't know if it does, but but I will get my back to my resolution is to make sure that I have people for you to contact. So if you wanted to play out here, and then you got a place to stay, because, you know, and I'm a really good cook. So,
oh, all right, that's great.
Who plays music director with you guys?
I'd say Eddie's usually our music director for the most part, and Sal, our keyboardist, he kind of tends to try to take control when he can.
Yeah. Funny.
It's
kind of a group effort, more or less. You know, we all put our 2 cents in on what we want to play and how we play it. Robbie, our guitar player, is a big driving force in that too.
How many songs out of their catalog do you think you know?
Roughly around 40 to or so. Bringing up a set list, I would have to say we're around maybe 38 to 40 songs.
So your show's gonna be pretty consistent then, if you're doing a 3-hour show and you're doing unless you like really go off on some jams, like, you know, like Run Through the Jungle or something like
right. Then you on occasion we'll do that. We've had a, you know, a 10 or so minute version of Keep on Shuglin', and sometimes
Old Man Down the Road the other night.
Some songs we can start jamming with it. But, you know, if you ever see Fogarty live, he'll be doing the same thing, you know. So he just makes it part of the show, which is great.
Yeah, yeah. It's great that he's still around too. And that's something.
It is. It's amazing to see, you know, someone that's 80 years old getting up there and still enjoying, you know, the music and
watch it. Perform. Watch it, because I'm getting close. Kelly, is there a song that really taxes you, that you've got to do it last, or you got to do it first, or you can't do it at all?
You know, I really like doing Fortunate Son.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's their most popular song. I always put up the flag for that one.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
But is there one that's really hard for you to do that? Like when I was in the band I was in a long time ago, every once in a while we'd try and play some whatever. And I'm trying to think, Dead or Alive, Bon Jovi. And if we didn't start with it, then we're not doing that song, you know, because I can do it early in the night when my voice is fresh. But if we're doing it, you know, fourth song in the last set, nope, not going to do it.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, do you have a song like that, or one that you save for the end because you deliver it so well?
I mean, I think sometimes traveling band, it, you know, can be a little tough vocally, like doing that, like if it's late in the night. But I would say, like, Spell on You early on was probably the challenge for me, because I knew I had like a little bit of like timing issues with that song. I don't know, maybe I still do, but I feel a little more comfortable with it because we've done it so much. But timing wise was a little bit of my struggle with that song.
Gotcha. Well, we've got a few of your songs we're going to hear. I'm going to play one right now. And this is the band is called Kelly and the Poor Boys. Kelly and the Poor Boys. No, I did it again. See? I just got back from New Orleans a couple weeks ago, so I've got Po' Boy in my mind. Kelly and the Poor Boys, and we're going to hear their version of Born on the Bayou here on the Music of America podcast.
Thank you.
Kelly and the Po' Boys from Lincoln, Rhode Island, and their version of Born on the Bayou. That's one of those E7 songs, I think, isn't it, Eddie?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Well, we've got a new member that joined us, too, Robbie, the lead guitarist. We're going to talk with him and talk a little bit about another one of the songs that Kelly just kind of touched on a moment ago. But first, I want to talk about a conversation I was having with a friend of mine about my brother's couples workbook called 2 Years After Forever. It's sort of a how-to guide to improve your communication skills, which, as anyone that's ever been in any relationship knows, is crucial. So as we spoke later in the conversation, I mentioned the book again, right? I go, so 2 Years After Forever is the name of the book I told you my brother wrote, and she interrupts me. She goes, wait, what? Your brother's book? I thought you meant a book you borrowed from your brother. Three little words, my brother's book, two entirely different interpretations of that phrase. Well, in 2 Years After Forever, there are exercises that help you form better communicative skills to avoid pratfalls like that, or at least be aware of them. Along with your partner, learning and applying these exercises help you get back to why 2 years ago, maybe, you pledged your life together forever. 2 Years After Forever, www.2yearsafterforever.com. Available at Amazon today and forever. So Eddie's our new guest. That's part of the Po' Boys. Came in kind of late, but he's the lead guitar player. And I asked earlier, so is that right? Or did I say Robbie? Or did I say Eddie?
It's Robbie.
You said Eddie. It's Robbie.
Well, I'm looking at the name Robbie and I'm looking at Eddie's face. So sorry, Robbie.
That's all good.
So I asked Eddie this. I'll ask you the same question. How many CCR songs could you play in a row, all in E7?
In E7?
Yeah.
Let's see here. Off the top of my head, there, Susie Q's based upon E7 with a little yeah. twist. Born on the Bayou.
Would we come up with five, I think?
Yeah, yeah. I think we had Old Man was in there.
Yeah, Old Man.
Green
yeah,
River.
In the key of E. All right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. E or E7. Yeah. It's just amazing to me about how simple, such a simple chord, you know, it's such a foundational chord of blues, and such great music came out of that one little chord, those, you know, that one letter and one little number, you know, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there a song you particularly like to jam out to? Like, if we got time and, you know, we got to fill an extra 15 minutes and, you know, let's just go take off on Run Through the Jungle for about 5-10 minutes. Is there one you get in a zone or a wheelhouse with more than another?
Oh, well, I'd have to say I Put a Spell on You. Yeah. And I really, oh my goodness. What's that song? He talks about bad luck. There's so many songs about bad luck.
Tombstone Shadow.
Yeah. That one's kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a lot of their songs you could just probably take off with if you wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, anyone in particular, it would depend on my mood, but I guess Spell is my favorite. Kind of like that one a lot.
Yeah,
I'm
kind of in that same boat. It's got a certain vibe to it. You know, it's kind of darker and kind of soulful, you know, and brings you to a different place. You know?
Really, really nice minor blues, a nice E minor blues, you know.
Yeah. And that's one I can imagine, Kelly, you really get soulful with as well, right?
On Spell?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yeah. I have a cape.
You have a cape.
Yeah, yeah.
Kelly Nix, ladies and gentlemen. That's two references in one
actually,
podcast.
Actually, it is the same cape I would wear to be Stevie Nicks. Yes.
I see. Yeah. I see. Does your set list change show to show, or do you pretty much say, you know, let's stay with this because we got a rhythm for it now. We're going to go from here to here to here. And with, would you say 38 to 40 songs, Jason, there's not a whole lot of wiggle room, you know, like you can't really,
you know, there is a lot of room, and Kelly actually just pretty much recently took over all the set list because she's a singer, and vocally I want her to be as strong as she can wherever she feels that she needs to be. But yeah, she tries to change it up to keep us on our toes. So
what songs are in the Kelly and the Po' Boys Cemetery, never to be done again?
Oh,
Commotion.
Commotion is one of them that we always have.
Although Robbie's talked about singing that one.
Yeah, it's just.
You want to talk about timing issues. Woo!
Really?
I really wish Cross Tie Walker would end up in that set list.
Yeah.
Oh, that's. Did I put that? That might have been the last.
It's usually with an asterisk at the end of the night.
Yeah.
If we have to, you know. But no one looks forward to it.
If we have to do an encore again.
Yeah.
All right, I think
is Commotion is only about a minute and 45 seconds right. long.
It's really? The longest minute and 45
yes,
seconds.
It feels like we're playing it for a half an hour.
Oh, very badly. And it's only one
we
chord.
Did it once. we played it out once.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Once. Yeah,
the amount of stress it's going to take for 1 minute right. and 45. No,
you stress the whole set for like the minute and 45 seconds that the song is.
So, I could just see
that. Someday we could maybe get Ramble Tamble in there. That takes some work, but it's like 7 minutes. It's worth it. You know what I mean?
I could just see you guys putting that song on your set list and then starting and looking at that and then just stressing all night long because we got to do it. And then when you're done, it takes forever to get done with it. And then you're just relieved.
We tend to do that if we have a shorter night and Looking Out My Back Door is on it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Kind of look at each other and we're saying we're not doing that. I guess that one causes a lot of stress too because there's a couple of key changes and time changes in it. And we're usually fine with it, but somehow we just tend to maybe it's not everyone else, maybe it's just me. I tend to just stumble every time I see that.
It's a weird key. That's why. I mean, a lot of the Creedence songs, E, A, really this tune was capoed. So we're compensating and we're playing in B flat. Now who plays in B flat?
That's
it. There's no open strings to hit. It's kind of like.
That's why you capo.
Yeah, capo.
I think Albert King is one of the first time I heard use the expression of backdoor songs or back pocket songs. Okay. So you're playing, things are going, and all of a sudden you're done with your set and you need one more. So give me each of you, start with you, Jason, give me a back pocket song and you got to pull it out and pull it off, even though it's not part of your regular set.
Yeah. We do have like this little classic rock set that, you know, we can toss in and give it a moment. And Kelly and Robbie are also in this other classic rock band called Blissful Moon. And Eddie and I also had Robbie in our classic rock act of Transmission. So there's really not much, you know, that we can't pull out of our back pocket. One that we tend to go to is usually like a Roadhouse Blues, just to give Robbie some time to jam out on lead guitar. And everyone always, you know, it's always a crowd pleaser. So even though it's not a CCR song, it kind of fits into that same, you know, that same time stamp, you know.
It's also an E, I think, right?
Right.
It's also an E.
Right. An E blues tune, you can never go wrong.
How about you, Eddie? What's a good back pocket song for you?
I like when we play the AC/DC stuff. Yeah. We do You Trick Me All Night Long. So
Kelly, you sing AC/DC?
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That'd be great. How about you? What's a good back pocket song for you? You like to pull out and say, let's do this. Let's do this.
Yeah, I would say that from the classic rock list, right? Because like it's the one thing that we change up a little bit sometimes. Yeah. And I mean, I like to do Dreams. I do like to do Roadhouse Blues too.
Uh-huh.
Everybody like that always gets people on the dance floor,
right?
For sure. Yeah.
How about you, Robbie? Is it Roadhouse Blues? Because that's what they're saying.
Oh, well, I like that one, but my favorite, I like when we do Long Train Running by the Doobies.
Yeah,
it's a really cool grooving little tune, you know. We do all with it, you know, when you have to whip it out.
How come more bands?
Pardon me.
That's such a great song. And I'm just sitting here thinking, how come more bands don't cover that song?
Right.
You know, it's really good. I mean, it's popular. It's got a good feel to it. It's got a good jam to it. And it gets people moving. Why don't more people do that song? Okay. New project, Doobie Brothers cover band.
Yeah, that's next on the list. Soon as these two other tributes fail, we're going for Doobie Brothers next.
Well, just have them all. Have them all. You can do a whole week at Higher Ground up in Vermont because they do all these, you know, tribute bands up there. Next song we're going to do, Kelly, you said you love doing this song because you break out the American flag, Fortunate Son. Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. So,
without getting into politics, do you think the political climate today caters more to that song like it did back in the 60s? Or,
you know what? I would say 9 times out of 10 people love it. People love it when the flag comes out. And the thing with John Fogerty, because I read his autobiography, he did not love the government, but he loved his country, right? And that's what it is. I mean, we're lucky to be in a country where you can have your opinion.
Amen. So, yeah.
And like I say, 9 times out of 10, like the cameras will come out and taking pictures.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's give it a listen. This again, the band is Kelly and the Poor Boys, and this is their version of Fortunate Son here on the Music of America podcast. Fortunate Son with Kelly and the Poor Boys here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Bass players, listen up. The Bag is a high-quality leather gig bag family of products that are handmade in the United States with the finest craftsmanship and beautiful, sophisticated, very cool overall appearance. They're made of some of the finest quality leather and cushion available and meant to last you a lifetime. Literally, a lifetime. They've got over 30 years in the leather industry. They're extremely proud to introduce this line of gig bags targeted to not just the skilled professional, but also the fun-seeking novice. Their hope is that you'll love The Bag as much as they do. The Bag. You can find them on Sweetwater, Musician's Friend, Guitar Center websites, or through Tony Vaughn Bass Bags. Tony Vaughn Bass Bags, www.tonyvaughn, that's V-A-U-G-H-N.com, or find them on Facebook with Tony Vaughn Bass Bags, The Bag. And we don't have... Oh, wait a minute. Jason, you're the bass player, right?
I am, and I love bass player jokes, so go right ahead.
Okay. I think we did these, though, but maybe not. So what do you call a bass player when he broke up with his girlfriend?
Homeless.
Yeah. What's the last thing a bass player says? How do you get a bass player off your front porch? You pay him for the pizza.
Ah, nice.
And the only other one.
And what does a bass player do with $1 million? Keep playing gigs until the money runs out.
How many lead guitarists does it take to change a light bulb?
Oh, I know this one. All right. 11, one to do it and 10 to say I could have done it better.
That's right. Well, I heard 100, but same thing, same concept. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, yeah.
What's the last thing the drummer says before he leaves the band? Hey, wait, guys, I wrote a song too.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a thinker joke.
my favorite drummer joke is, how do you know that a stage is level? The drummer drools out of both sides of his mouth.
That's great. That'll be my next show, be Musical Jokes of America. What's the most memorable moment in your mind of Kelly and the Poor Boys? We'll start with you, Robbie.
All right. We did a gig on 9/11 a couple of years back. I think it was our first year. On the way to the gig, I passed by this cop in Douglas, and I'm not thinking nothing of it. Drove past him, and next thing you know, the lights come on. It turns out my registration had expired, and I didn't know it.
Oh no!
So they towed my car, but they gave me a ride to the gig, me and my kids. And they were cool about it, but you know how embarrassing that was with a crowd full of people there, and I'm showing up like I just. So that I kind of remember that one a lot.
That's funny. How about you, Eddie?
I'm gonna have to say I think it was the first gig we played. We played outdoors, and it was in April, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was probably 11 degrees out.
Oh, my gosh.
And the wind was howling, so it was probably close to zero or whatever. At least it felt like it.
Yeah.
And we could watch our hands and, go move, will you? It was so cold. So was that our first gig?
No, it was probably like the third, but that was...
Yeah, I know. It was early on. It was
very early on. That was the first time we played.
Month of us gigging anyways. Yeah.
It was the first time we played It Came Out of the Sky as well. And
That was the highlight of the night. Yeah, that's right.
We were trying a new song, and we were just... That was the only way we could warm up.
Oh, wow.
A new song.
Right by a lake too, man. That was right by the water.
Where were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you in Massachusetts?
That was in Marlborough, Mass.
Yeah.
And the wind had knocked down, one of our speakers. I mean, that's how hard it was.
So just out of curiosity, what time of year was this, April?
It was probably April, yeah. It was
March. I remember March.
Yeah, April's okay, but who books an outdoor gig in the Northeast in March, man? It's still winter.
Well, that's what you do when you're in lockdown because of COVID.
Mm. Yeah, right. It was still the tail end of COVID at that point. We were just itching to get out. I mean,
people sat because they wanted to see music.
Just dying to have it. How about you, Kelly? Memorable show.
We have a lot of great, fun, memorable shows, but
doesn't have to be fun. It could be something.
I'll bring up when we played a gig at a place and a brawl broke out.
Oh wow,
that's right.
It was one of the first times we were playing Don't You Wish It Was True, which is such a happy, upbeat song, but there was this brawl breaking out.
Wow. Jace, how about you?
One that comes to mind was, speaking of COVID times, I think it was maybe mid-2021 or maybe towards the end of 2021, we had performed at this place called Greendale's in Worcester, Mass., And Kelly was so She was so self-conscious. She's like, I don't want anyone to come up to my microphone and start talking.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll have COVID. And I said, well, there's no way that's going to happen. Right. And of course she turns her back for 1 second. And then someone gets on her microphone and starts like singing into the mic. And I was like, I just literally said, this is no one is going to do this. And literally.
Yeah. I remember
how do you deal with that?
That was the same gig that the same guy hit on me as my daughter.
Oh, geez.
so he struck out with the daughter, so he hit on mom. Yeah.
Struck out both times.
Yeah, how funny.
Yeah,
How'd you deal with that when somebody steps up and you turn your back for a minute and all of a sudden somebody's on your mic? How do you deal with that, Kelly?
I just tried to explain to the person, like, because of COVID, like, I don't want to be a jerk about it, but I'm just, you know, right? Because I don't think I was too subtle about it, right? I just, because of COVID, so. Right.
I mean, did you knee him in a certain area? Or?
No, it was a girl.
It was a girl. Oh, okay.
No, I don't know. Maybe brushed it off and moved on and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Now, how did you guys all come together? How did you guys all decide, let's do a CCR thing? Because you get some of you knew each other, like there's some overlap of personalities. So
right. Well, like I said, it was actually Robbie's idea in a way, because again, during COVID, we were, you know, Robbie was helping Eddie and I with our classic rock cover band Transmission, and we sometimes would jam with Robbie on you know the off night, and we would start doing some Bruce Springsteen songs, and Robbie was like, I don't want to do Bruce Springsteen songs anymore. Can we just do Creedence instead?
One or two aren't bad. I mean, I don't detest Bruce, but you know, not a whole night.
And then
were
you and Kelly in a band together? Is that how she got brought in, or?
Well, no.
Nope.
Kelly and I are in a side project right now called Blissful Moon, but the Poor Boys were the first time Kelly and I ever jammed together.
So how did they, because there's a connection with the.
Well, the connection is that Kelly was we met Kelly online when we needed a fill-in backup singer for the Rolling Stones tribute.
Oh, okay.
So Kelly was just, you know, fearless about being able to step in and do some songs and help us out on a few shows that we needed before we could, you know, really just kind of move on from having the whole backup singer thing. But, you know, there was a lot of songs that are former backup singer had done, and Kelly kind of just came in and, you know, did those shows with us. So, and we had kept in touch. We even did a couple shows with her and her other, you know, classic rock band that year. And then when, you know, the idea of singers came about for the Creedence act, you know, again, Robbie and I would jam some songs out, and then we were like, okay, so who's going to sing? And we started just kind of throwing some names out as to who would have come down. And I believe Kelly was the one and only one that came down, and Robbie just said, well, that's it. And so, he just decided right there.
So Kelly, blessing or curse?
Blessing. Yeah.
Blessing. Okay.
It's been a lot of fun.
You're so quiet through all that.
Like, if you asked me 5 years ago, like, would you front a Creedence band? I'd be like, no.
You're right.
Right, you just try it. And these guys are great. These guys are great.
We're going
on our third year now.
Oh, like, wow! Really?
It's been a lot of fun. Yeah.
Had you been with other bands like your whole career, or did you start singing later? Been singing since high school.
I've been singing for about 11 years now. I was in a couple of classic rock bands prior to this. So
fun.
Great start.
Robbie, how about you? How long have you been playing?
Well, I've been playing pretty steadily since 2018. Before that, I, you know, was some in original projects. I was doing a solo acoustic blues thing for a while.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I was married. I worked second shift. I didn't really get a chance to play until around 2018. And it's, you know, God's blessed me. It's been pretty steady.
Yeah.
You know.
It's pretty awesome. But, and Eddie's just been playing since, you know, Jesus was a baby, right?
Since I was 14, yeah. Yeah. I took 18 years off in between, though.
That's what I forgot. You took that big hike. What was that all about?
I worked for a company that there was a lot of overtime involved, and they were very unforgiving of saying no. So I didn't have any choice. So.
And Jason, but, how long have you been playing?
Pretty much for 30 straight years, maybe a little more. Yeah.
So since you were like in the womb, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, the last song we're going to play is not as big of a hit, which is kind of cool. You know, still a big Creedence song, as long as I can see the light. But I was kind of looking forward to, like, I wanted to hear Bad Moon Rising, because there's a great line in there that's, there was a book called Misinterpreted Songs. And ever since that, I keep thinking when the song comes on, I sing this, there is a bathroom on the right, you know?
Right. And yeah. Fogerty actually does sing that sometimes.
Does he?
Play it live. Yeah, he'll actually say it.
That's funny. I often thought, wouldn't it be funny to just rewrite the whole song instead of just that? Rewrite the whole song about, you know, you're at a gig and you don't know where you're going. Because you got about five minutes between sets, right? Because you got to stop, you got to get a drink, you got to
roughly, rest. Yeah.
And it's like, where do I go? Well, there's a bathroom on the right, you know. So, but no, okay. So we're gonna listen to it. It's As Long As I See the Light. As long as I can see the light. Kelly and the Poor Boys here on the Music of America podcast.
Oh,
as I Can See the Light with Kelly and the Poor Boys here on the Music of America podcast as we wrap up our visit to Rhode Island. And kids, where does the time go? Where does the time go? You know, this is the last segment of the show. We call this Shameless Self-Promotion. Now, we've talked a little bit about some shows that are coming up. We can talk about some more, but I also want to talk about Blissful Moon because Robbie and Kelly are in that band together. And then Jason and Eddie, you guys were on a while ago talking about your other band that's already been on here, 19th Nervous Breakdown. So let's hear about all of it. And let's go. And on my screen, it's top to bottom. So it's Jason, Kelly, Eddie, and Robbie. So Jason, why don't you start with the Poor Boys and tell me what's going on with you guys.
With the Poor Boys schedule, we've got Saturday, June 1st at 133 Club in East Providence, Rhode Island. Friday, June 21st at Bogey's in Lincoln, Rhode Island. Saturday, June 29th at JR's in Hanson. If anyone wants to check out our schedule, there's always Facebook. And then you can check us out there on Credence with Kelly. Pretty easy. Credence with Kelly with K-E-L-L-Y.
So. Too easy. Too easy.
It's just too easy.
Kelly and Robbie, tell me about, what is it, Blissful Moon? What kind of music? Where do you guys play? And what's coming up this summer?
We're basically probably only about like 4 weeks into it together, right, Kelly?
Right.
We're just really starting to gig now. I know we got one coming up April 6th. Don't ask me where. we play a variety of classic rock ranging from Zeppelin to Aerosmith. We've got some Janis Joplin in there. It's a really, really cool band. I mean, I love playing with the Poor Boys, but playing Creedence all the time is kind of like eating the same meal all the time. it's good, but, we like to have fun. Kelly belts it out. We have a good time with it, you know?
Now, I got to point this out. This is audio only, so I get to see. Kelly looks like she's this frail little woman. You look like you're about 4'1" and weigh about 68 pounds. And I'm picturing her doing, like, Stevie Nicks, doing Janis Joplin. I've heard your voice on with the Poor Boys, and you're just powerful. And so
well, I'm not that tiny.
Okay, well, you look tiny.
Kelly, you're like, what, 5'8"?
5'6".
There. Okay. The camera makes you look so tiny. That's what it is. Unlike Eddie, look at Eddie. You know, Eddie's there, he's lounged out. You know?
With my dog.
Yeah, Kelly. What else can you say about the Poor Boys or about where else? You know, I guess that, where else can we see you or see you guys? Blissful Moon.
You know, it's a lot of fun with the Poor Boys. These guys are great to work with, you know, and it's my first experience in a tribute band, which has been kind of neat too, to learn about the band and, you know, John Fogerty and just like the style that particular artist has.
Yeah.
But like Robbie says, it's good, like, to change it up with this classic rock project as well, right, with Blissful Moon. It is with this lineup. Well, Robbie did his first show with us January, right? The end of January.
Yeah.
So I'll do the plug part. There's three other gigs on the calendar. April 6th is Nikki's in Rhode Island. April
13th.
13th, is it? Saturday. That's part of an all-day event that is going on at the Updike Room at in West Greenwich.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have June 8th, which is at Wing Power.
Okay. In
Smithfield, Rhode Island.
And Eddie, how about you? To wrap things up, any merch that you guys have for the Poor Boys?
I don't think we have any t-shirts.
No, you can get those at our, if you go on our Facebook page, you can get some TeePublic shirts that you can have specially made for yourself. Okay. and get Kelly's face embroidered right on your chest anytime you want.
And since we've got you guys both here, Jason, Eddie, how about some closing comments about 19th Nervous Breakdown you got coming up? What do you got coming up this summer with you guys?
We got June 2nd at the Harmony, which is a Sunday. We got June 7th at Mulligan's. Is that right, Jay?
Yeah, Mulligan's Island in Cranston, Rhode Island.
Right. And then June 8th at City Oasis in Newton, Massachusetts.
That is correct. And let's not forget, Thursday, May 30th, we are going to be at Howl at the Moon at Splitsville and Patriot Place in Foxborough, Mass. We are going to be doing the Rolling Stones pre-show. They're going to be at Gillette Stadium. So we're going to be playing right next door in the afternoon.
How
so for
fun.
Any Rolling Stones fans that are there, they can come see us play and playing all the Stones songs that they're not going to hear at the concert.
That sounds exciting. Great time. Wish I was there. Well, kids, it's been fun. Kids, because I just turned 68 years old, so everybody is kids to me now. So, Kelly and the Poor Boys, thank you so much for being our guest today. And that does wrap up our visit to Rhode Island. Up next, we're headed south to South Carolina here on the Music of America podcast.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America podcast.